Going to pass something around, and I guess it's good I have it because I'm not sure we're going to get through it all. It's been a lot of good sharing, and as we kind of transition from that time of sharing, I want to read a few verses from Psalm 31, kind of as our prayer to begin. It's beginning with verse 1. It says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. And into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." Looking at talking about commitment, being committed here tonight, kind of put a couple pictures at the top of this handout. One is Abe Lincoln, who says that a commitment is what transforms a promise into a reality. Or Vince Lombardi says most people fail, not because of lack of desire, but because of lack of commitment. What do you think about those? Just as we get our heads thinking today about commitment, about being committed. Some interesting thoughts, aren't they? Some interesting thoughts as these men came from the world and laid this out for us. Because we really want to look tonight at what it is to be committed. What is it to be committed? What are some thoughts? I know I'm not Ben and I just don't talk the whole time. It's good to get some input. You know, we have commitments throughout our whole life, right? I mean, maybe I should go the other way, because the second line I have there, it says, we live in a world that can be increasingly described as uncommitted. We're probably better at defining those, aren't we? Those things in our life.
But when I think of commitment in everyday language, I think it's that I've made up my mind about something, or maybe to do something.
Mm-hmm. Just putting it out there, right?
It's going to happen, and you know, everything else I have to adjust to it. Like, I think this is going to happen. Now, you're right. There aren't many things that I bring that kind of commitment to.
You're right.
You get bumped off of them, and that, you know, well, I got to do. But the true commitments, the come hell or high water commitments, I don't get bumped off of those. You know, a lot of those revolve around my children. But it also clarifies things for me. You know, my mind's already made up, so I don't have to be sorting a whole lot of things as I go forward.
You don't, because those things are laid out, like you said, hell or high water, something you pledge to. You're right, a lot of times it's family that we really commit to. Family is what commits us in a lot of our situations to change. Because of that connection we have, that which we desire from them. And so, yes, it can be family.
Pastor, if I might interrupt, on that family thing, I used to smoke a long time ago. I smoked a lot. And the thing that stopped me from smoking wasn't even smoking programs or anything like that. I stopped smoking because of the program they had in school. My daughter was a little in the second, third grade. They showed her pictures of what happens to your lungs. And when she saw her father smoking, she was afraid for me. And when I looked at her when she talked about that, and I seen that fear in her eyes, you know, I'm saying, you know what, nobody's going to scare my daughter like that. Not even me, not mm-hmm. cigarettes, come hell or high water. That's the end of that. Because it scared somebody that I was committed to take care of.
It is those things in our life, you're right, that can really change and direct us. Who wants our spouse or significant other to see us in a situation, or our children. We commit ourselves to jobs a lot of times.
What about committing ourselves to sobriety and committing ourselves when we relapse?
Say that again, Nicole. I heard the first part.
I wonder if we all pledge to be sober.
sober.
Right.
And then if we relapse, aren't we uncommitting ourselves to
not? Well, what we have to look at, and we're going to kind of dig into this a little bit, hopefully. No, you're fine. You're fine, because I'm actually going to kind of wrap a lot of this. Is we live in a sinful world, Nicole. We really do. It isn't our desire to wake up in the morning and just screw up our lives. Yeah, some people do. But we live in a fallen world where the desires of our heart, and even what I read in those few verses from Psalm 31, we live in a world that attacks us. And just because we make a mistake don't mean that we are no longer committed. It means that we just need to commit ourselves even more.
Why
do those times of...
Why do we make the mistakes that we make? And why do we have to be addicts? And why do we have to go to court? Why do we have to answer to these people? And why do we make these choices?
A lot of those choices... Well, and those are things that we really, as we even heard people talking, we've got to find meaning in something more than ourselves. If you read through this paper, you're going to see a lot of things of what Jesus has done for us. And even in this scenario between Jason and Bob, Bob asked Jason, who was it that was there for Peter? Because Peter was so distracted. Yeah, he went out there. His eyes was on Jesus. Everything was going great. And all of a sudden, he was feeling those waves kind of up against his calves, maybe, you know, or against his robe. And he became distracted. We have to remember, Nicole, well, all of us, the world in which we live. We are born in a sinful world. That sin started at the beginning of time by no fault of our own, but because we are tied to that. We're going to talk a little bit, if we have time, I'm going to try to bring him up, Abraham. Abraham is considered that man of faith. People who believe and have faith are considered his descendants, and yet he lived in this same world. He struggled with God's promise because God promised Abraham that you're going to have as many descendants as the stars in the heaven. Problem is, he was already old.
Yeah. You know the thing too, Pastor? A couple of things. One, you know, the Bible says that Abraham, God credited him with being righteous. But when we look into the story of Abraham, it wasn't because of anything he did.
Right.
You know, it falls down to one thing. Abraham, God said, this man is righteous for one reason only. You know what that was? He said he believed God.
He believed in God.
Something that was totally impossible. Old man, old woman. Not only are they going to have children, there's going to be a whole bunch of other children. Totally impossible.
And he believed.
And God believed in God. So the thing about righteousness is believing God. And I will say this to you, Nicole, on this. Because you stumble and fall and have a relapse does not mean that you are not committed. I will not sit here and tell anybody that some things I've committed to, that I went straight to them and never failed. You know, it's getting knocked on your butt, sometimes hurting. I would say sometimes I take some time to cry about it, you know, pout about it, get mad about it, and that kind of thing. But get through it and get back on it.
Yep.
Get through it and get back on it. And what if I get knocked down again? Well, you know what? This is getting old. Cry about it. Pout about it. Get back on it. And try it again.
When we become uncommitted means when we walk away from those situations. We see it in relationships. If we are in a relationship, and I don't mean that we're married, but we are in a relationship, we commit ourselves to somebody, all of a sudden something comes up and we just walk away. That's being uncommitted. But if we in our heart know that what we're doing is right, whether or not the things are hitting us, we're still going to stay upon that path. Psalm 37 is listed on your paper. Commit your way to the Lord, trust Him, and He will act. That don't mean that all things are going to be good. That don't mean that you're going to make all the right decisions in your life, but it means that we need to have faith in God. That means that we need to believe in Him. That means that all that He is our strength, even when we fall and can't get up. Because we're all going to make mistakes. Even if you look around this room, all of us have made mistakes. Some of us probably even an hour before we got here. Some probably even as we were pulling up was doing something in our mind, in our heart, because Scripture says that sin is even what goes on in our mind. And we may say, yeah, I'm tempted to do something. That's the same as in God's eyes as doing it. So we come to Him and look for forgiveness. We look for forgiveness. And so we come back to Him in that same commitment. Because that commitment is what is going to get us to where God wants us to be. The verse there in Galatians, I'm just going to read parts of that as you can read along on your paper. This is from Galatians 3, because it really points us to Christ first. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And so what he's talking about here is so many people try to say, I'm getting to where I'm going by everything that I do. And just as you brought up, Nicole, we don't always do the right thing. You know, there are people out there that say, it's the things that I do that I gotta get rewarded for. And so it's really pointing us that it comes back to our faith. As it goes on to say, just skipping down to verse 5, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you, works miracles among you, do so by works or by hearing the faith?" Again, it is faith that we believe. Because when we look through our own eyes, all we see is ourselves in the mirror as a failure. We see ourselves as the world sees us. And that's what holds us down. Christ sees that faith within us. God in the Spirit understands where our heart is. And it says, just as Abraham believed God, and as Elvis pointed out, it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham did struggle. He was told he'd have descendants. And so him and his wife kind of put their own plan into action. Sarah gave her servant to him and said, "Here, you're going to have a child." The way they believed is that it was still Abram's or Abraham's child, but it wasn't God's plan. Sometimes God's plan for us is to wait it out. Yeah, we're going to get dirty. Yes, we're going to get ourselves wet and look at the world around us. But we have to hold to that. And one thing that we struggle with, no matter who we are, comes in Revelation 3 that's listed there. It says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of your mouth." We all try walking that line. We don't want to commit to doing the things that we need to. We don't commit to that which is going to change our lives. And so we are in that middle ground. Sometimes it's even better for us, as we see in court, for people to say, "I just want to give up. I want to go. It's done. Let me serve my time and get it over with." In a way, that is a commitment. That's a commitment to just give up. But there's many who try to walk the path. I want people to see the good that I pretend I have. And that's always going to come back and get us. Because it really comes down to that first verse we read as Christ being publicly portrayed as crucified. That is the worst commitment, the worst death that is out there. Before that, he cried in the garden asking God if this was really the plan. He really cried out to God like we do. What is this reality? What is it that's going to make this real for God's plan? And it was for Christ to hang on that tree. We have to stay committed to Him. Last week, Adam shared with us a topic of, who can remember? I know. You know, that's part of being a preacher. We want you to remember what we talked about last week. You know, we encourage you to remember.
It was
something
good.
It was.
I wasn't here. staying or getting on the tracks?
Getting back on the tracks or staying on the tracks, right? Because he had a picture. What was the picture? I know where. With the being derailed, right? And what he was telling us is it's important to stay engaged in the church. You hear Pastor Martin or Pastor Charles or myself, many of us encourage you to get into church. We don't push you to come to our churches. They're open to you. The doors are there, but go to church. Be in His Word. Pray. And so what it comes down to is that big question is, where are you committed? I mean, we can say we are committed to those people that are important to us. We're committed to our job because it's helping us pay our debts. But it really comes down to, are we going to commit ourselves to Jesus, or are we going to commit ourselves to the things of this world? That is the question that we face. That we face every day. And so what are we committed to? Who do we give ourselves to in our daily life? Who and what does it come down to? Yes, life is a struggle. Yes, we are bombarded because the court wants us to do things. Yes, our families want us to prove themselves. In essence, we want to prove ourselves to ourselves. Because we have screwed up and paid that price for so long. Those things are hard. It says, even in Job, it says, as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. So we need to make sure we're giving ourselves to God. That we are committing ourselves to stay connected to Him. That we are committing ourselves to be where He wants us to be. If you turn the paper over, I'm going to close. I know this was rushing, but I encourage you to take this with you. I encourage you to go through the points of commitment that's on the front. I encourage you to read these Bible verses. Even read Psalm 31 that I opened with, the first five verses. But it says, if I am committed to God, I'm just going to read this so that you hear the words. You can also read them as well. It says, I'll put Him first. I'll serve Him in everything I do. I'll entrust myself to Him and His judgment. I'll busily work for in His kingdom without distraction from the world. I'll trust Him rather than worry about the things I can't control. I'll cast my cares upon Him and trust Him to deal with my problems. I won't be afraid to die. God will take care of me and my loved ones. I'll live in heaven for eternity. I encourage you to stay and share with the mentors that are here. I encourage you to open up your life to what God has in store for you and to really find a place that you can grow in your faith, grow in your relationships, and grow in His plan for you.